Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 33 of Preparing for the Inevitable, a podcast on how to handle trouble, suffering, pain, and death. I am your host, Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast will help you get ready to face the inevitable, unpleasant things that will happen in your life. Things like trouble, suffering, sickness, and death. The death of people you love and your own death. Trouble, suffering, and death are common threads that run throughout all of humanity. They are inescapable. You will never meet a person who has not, is not, or will not experience these terrible things in life. They are painful. They are oftentimes mind-boggling. Yet we attempt to hide from these inevitabilities, to pretend they don't exist or that they won't happen to us. They won't happen to our little beautiful family. Our world is filled with news of people dying, children suffering, entire government systems and organizations enduring trouble and turmoil. But we tend to see these as things that only happen to other people and never to us. Trouble, suffering, pain, and death come equally to all people of all races, from every socioeconomic status, of every religion, in every country of the world. It makes us all very equal. This podcast will show you how to accept these realities of life and not just cope, but face trouble, suffering, and death in your own life and in the world with confidence, courage, class, and most of all, with faith, hope, and charity. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:54, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." The featured quote for this episode today is from C.S. Lewis. He said, "The death of a beloved is an amputation." Our topic for today is titled Caring for the Dying, Part 4, from the book The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come by Rob Maul. And I want to remind you, beloved, to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Art of Dying by Rob Maul. It is available on our website for just $20. Today we begin looking at some lessons from the story of Katherine Jefferson and her brother Bob, who came down with cancer and later died. Journeying to what? Bob's dying process lasted more than 2 years after he was diagnosed with cancer. While gradual dying can strain family resources as members care for an ill person or struggle to pay medical bills, it also provides opportunities for families to care for each other. This can be particularly meaningful when it is the last time we will be able to care for someone we love. Caregiving for a dying person is full-time work. It can be exhausting, even for someone like Cindy, who was healthy, able, retired and had plenty of help from friends and family. On top of the physical effort, a terminal illness requires navigating the complex healthcare system of insurance, medicine, and doctors. Patients take trips to the hospital, undergo surgery perhaps, and need time to recover. All this goes on in addition to the mundane requirements of life. Meals 3 times a day, children's soccer games, lawn mowing, washing clothes, drying clothes, etc. But a good death requires more than car rides and spoon feedings. Relationships need completing and sometimes mending. Faith needs nurturing. Often stories need telling. There is no program for this kind of end-of-life work. Nevertheless, learning to give care, whether over months and years or on occasional weekends, helps to smooth the path toward a good death. There is indeed work to be done. Perhaps the most important work, the work of completing a life. A dying person may set goals to fulfill, such as writing a life story or working on another kind of life review. A milestone, an anniversary, the birth of a grandchild or a daughter's wedding might become a courage-inspiring goal. People need to say goodbye to family and friends. And importantly, they need to ready themselves spiritually. This is different. This is a different sort of journey, but it still takes time and effort. For caregivers, it is these tasks that, while adding to responsibilities, are the meaningful ones. So how do we actually do all these things? How do we care for a dying person? How do we honor their last days as significant? How do we make meaningful visits to someone terminally ill? Despite all the difficulty, all of the awkwardness, all of the pain, the answer is quite simple. Be present. Be present. Be present. However, if it is a simple answer, it is not an easy one to practice. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare us to give care and help us to receive care when that time comes. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, please understand that after you die, you will be ushered into one of two places to spend eternity, heaven or hell. Here's how you can be sure that you will not go to hell and suffer eternal damnation forever, and rather have a home in heaven when you die. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die, in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, I am the chief of sinners, so don't think that you're alone. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Fourth, accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Fifth, accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. With these truths in mind, dear friend, please believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul this very moment, and he will. The Bible states in the book of Romans, chapter 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul from sin and hell and change my life today and forever. Amen. Beloved, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again from the dead, allow me to say congratulations on trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have indeed done the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Remember, dear friend, believe by faith, share the faith, and keep the faith. God bless you.